Yep. All right, so we're back on, Vanessa. Great. All right, it is 12 o'clock. Recess is convened. We are back in action and ready to talk about the budget. So it brings us to item number 12. This is for discussion and possible action. Story County final budget update. Comptroller McCain.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. I want to start off by correcting an error that Clay brought to my attention. On your summary sheets, the beginning fund balance and the ending fund balance for the general fund are off due to a formatting formula error. The correct final projection for the beginning fund balance is $18,336,033, with a projected ending fund balance of $14,958,858.
All right.
So that corrects those sheets, and I apologize for that error. Now getting on to some changes that we have been making from the tentative budget. Mm-hmm. The first big one is the health insurance that Toby Witten spoke about earlier. That reduced our expense in all departments and funds that have employees. And with going over their numbers, once again, we did find a few enrollment errors for current enrollees. So some of those numbers are not quite the reduction, or, and in other instances, they are over the reduction that we saw in the percentages. So that being said, in the general fund, we had an overall change in the health insurance line items for all those departments of a reduction of $89,977. With that, the administrative department will see an increase. We did add the retiree insurance, which is a nice round number of $200,000. Mm-hmm. The commissioner's department saw an increase in their professional services line item of $196,000. That is due to the studies that we see coming up for AB 90 and the innovative zone. Mm-hmm. There are also a few other changes to clean up the transition of the commissioner's office being the overall admin department for the county, and the admin department transitioning to be just HR functions. And those changes had no overall bottom line impacts. Community development, we had asked them to reevaluate their travel and training budget, streamlining that. He was able to reduce the travel by $700 and will anticipating per each incident getting the best deals that they can get. The training budget had a reduction of $3,656. Community Relation had a couple of additions. One is she is taking on the duty of the Title VI training, so that increased her professional service budget by $500. As well, we have looked quite specifically at the Lockwood North Senior Center manager position, and it was decided that that is a position that would be under the Senior Center Board and not a Story County position, but we are funding that this year. So we added $57,000 to that allotment for the North Senior Center. Communications, we have a annual subscription that was overlooked for their new recorder that adds $3,480. Where am I? Services in Public Works, they will have a shared position with the road department, and this encompasses their NDOT compliance officer. And that was originally budgeted at a grade of 110. That was corrected to be a grade of 116. IT also has a new position coming on board that was approved before the tentative but was not added to the budget, so that the wages went up $48,000, and hand in hand, their benefits line items went up $16,678. Over this time period, we've also found the need for a possible one-year position in the planning department, which will allow us to bring on someone with special talents and be able to do some investigation on some ongoing projects that we have. Overall, this has been approximately $510,000 change, which is 3% of our expenses. This created a revenue to expense reduction from $762,000 to $210,000. We believe that this still is leaving Story County in a good position moving into the next fiscal year. We've budgeted both expenses and revenues fairly conservatively, and we will continue to monitor our budget on a quarterly basis and bring you updates. That is everything that you have in your packets. We do have, of course, a few changes that came about after submission to the agenda. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to go over a couple of those things. The first one is in the sheriff's office. The HR department has finally finished their study on reclassing one of their management positions, and that has been approved. The district court received the letter from the Nevada Public Defender's Office, which will raise our annual cost. This is based on a five-year average of service hours that we use, as well the Division of Child and Family Services are increasing their costs for the year for us. This is reducing that $210,000 revenue to expenses to $182,000, which still, all of those changes are leaving us still in the black.
Noted.
We move forward to discuss other funds. And the big items that come out are that shared position in the road department with services. That was the correction of the grade from 110 to 116. Their health benefits went down $5,367. However, with a few enrollment changes, that brought their benefits up $26,000. Their line item for street signs is going down $5,000, and that's because they found a great deal on some lighted horse signs that were originally budgeted for quite a few $1,000 each. He was able to buy two of those signs in the current budget year and stay within his budget. Right. As well, we were able to budget for four more signs and still reduce that line item by $5,000. Right. Capital projects fund. We found the need to build in a contingency for unforeseen projects and overages with, as Mike Northern explained, the crazy inflation of building materials. We need to be sure that we can get the projects done that we're promising our taxpayers we're going to do. With that, we also move $600,000 out of capital projects into the sewer fund because the Gold Hill sewer plant is not going to be completed by June 30th. We need to budget that amount, and on direction of our auditor, that should be in the sewer fund. So we're making that change as well. You'll see when we get into the sewer fund, those revenues from the USDA will be deposited there. The park fund, this is supported by building permits. And unfortunately, every couple of years, we have to reduce our anticipated spending in each of the parks because the way the budget system works with taxation, a couple of our years are not reality. They're more our projections. And this is that year where if we continue with our projections and what we want to happen, that will give us a negative ending fund balance, which is never a good thing. So every few years we cut back on planning to spend, and that ending fund balance bumps right back up, and then we have the money. Over the last few years, we haven't had very many building permits, and so the revenue stream in there has gone down. We look around just driving through the Highlands. You can see there's a lot of building going on, so we're hoping that you know, that's going to change things this coming year, but we're still budgeting the revenue conservatively. VCTC and Pipers saw very small changes in their health insurance. The infrastructure fund has, that is when we, a few months ago, set by ordinance plans that we want to do with that, that quarter cent sales tax. Originally in that plan, we had $250,000 slated for a new water tank. Public Works Director Jason Wierzbicki has decided to hopefully go a different way. We're looking at doing a maintenance contract, and that would be over the next 10 years. They would rehab the interior and exterior of the three existing tanks that are not being touched, as well provide maintenance on all five tanks. Replacing those three tanks within infrastructure and capital outlay would have cost us $750,000 at a minimum. This plan with the maintenance and refurbishing those tanks will cost $771,000 over 10 years. The company that we're currently looking at is guaranteeing that when they renovate those tanks, they will bring them back to like new. So that's what our plan will be. This new plan will cost infrastructure $82,213, up to the $250,000 mark that you already approved, and then we'll move that over to the capital projects fund. Those capital improvements will cost $411,000 of that $771,000 budget. So those are the changes in the Story County General Fund and other special revenue funds that we've made so far. I'd like to ask that if you have anything that you're thinking of that you would like to look at, budget impact, that you let me know. When we meet again, I would hope to have the budget complete and ready for your signature and approval to go to taxation.
Thank you for that. Anything else where I go to public comment?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding item number 12? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I was just hoping for some clarification on in the commissioner's section. It looks like we're back down to, and you may have mentioned this, and I apologize if I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
In the tentative, it looked like a substantial increase on our salaries, and then it's back down to pretty close to what it was this last year. Does that represent a change in staffing approach or?
That is attributed to the HR director's position. Previously was split between the admin and the commissioners. That has now all gone over to the admin department, which, as I explained, we're trying to transition to be strictly HR.
Got it. Great. Thank you. That was my only question.
Okay. And I don't have any questions. Appreciate the report, Jennifer. With that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, you want to entertain a motion?
I don't think we have a motion on this one.
There is no motion.
Informational.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then just to help me understand the process as far as budgeting goes, we have a final budget hearing coming up. Is that our next step?
The final budget hearing will be the next meeting. I believe it's May 18th. If you come up with something in that meeting that you want changed or we need to make a 180 degree change, we would have to have a special meeting, publish it, and move forward in that direction. That's why I'm trying to bring you up to date each meeting. So
very good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. See you in a few minutes.
All right. Thank you. Item number 13, discussion for possible action. This is continued from the April 20th meeting. Consideration and possible approval of amendment of the governmental services agreement for Story County Economic Diversification District number one, which is TESLA, between Story County Fire Protection District and TESLA for fiscal year 2020, 2021, all the way through 2024. Increasing reimbursement amounts for certain services provided to Tesla by the county. Austin, are you taking this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. Just to give everyone a little background or a little recap, with Tesla, they're fully abated in property and sales tax. So sales tax for 20 years, property tax for 10 years. So the county doesn't come out behind in providing services to the Gigafactory. There was a government services agreement passed in 2015 that would offset all of Story County's cost. At the time that that was negotiated, there was a hypothetical numbers were used. That's all that was available at the time because the Gigafactory didn't exist. And to determine, you know, what are the costs that Story County is incurring in responding to fire and sheriff, administrative, other responses to that, you know, use out there. So there's a differential in this. It was anticipated back then that around 2018, the Gigafactory would be completed. So there's a differential where in 2018, the county received approximately $1.5 million for all government services that included general administrative, a Quint fire truck reimbursement, and also reimbursements for community development and fire plan review. The Gigafactory was never completed technically, but construction did stop around 2018. So the purpose and intent did get met. The government services agreement dropped in 2019 to a new number. So instead of getting 1.5 million, we get about 674,000. Anticipating that the, you know, the Gigafactory construction would end and therefore there would be much less response. During the negotiation with the folks out there, we had kind of taken a little different approach. So there is a reopener in the agreement. The agreement's not ending, it's not expiring, but we did decide to open it up to readjust those numbers back up to what we believe are the numbers for staffing and other costs. So we reopened it, renegotiated. All of us had a lot to do with this. The sheriff's office was involved, justice of the peace, the district attorney, the fire district chief, and the comptroller, and myself. We were all able to put data together. I appreciate these folks. We're looking at every single staff hour that had been used over the last several years in their departments as responses to the Gigafactory or related to it. The sheriff, 911 dispatch was also involved in this. I didn't mention they have call data. They have GIS data. They have FTE, full-time equivalent data, that we were able to come back to this negotiation session with real numbers for every single call, every single instance. And we could then bargain with those numbers to not only get the numbers up to where they were before 2018, but even exceed those numbers. So long story short, to give you a little bit of a recap, between 2021 and 2024, if we did nothing or if the board did not approve this government service agreement amendment, we would bring in approximately $3.3 million to the county and fire district together. Under the new agreement, it would be about $7.2 million, an increase of roughly $4 million. That and combines, like I said, general services, the Quint truck, and plan review. We also were able to add the district attorney's cost and justice of the peace costs in here that were not in the old contract being considered. In addition to that, we were able to add to the new agreement approximately $2.7 million up to for the rehabilitation of Electric Avenue. Tesla will pay 66.4% of rehabilitation of that road from USA Parkway to Milan. Then they will pay 100% of the rehabilitation from Milan to approximately 700 feet of the guard shack. And then we're still in negotiations on that last 700 feet. Tesla's looking at potential abandonments, other types of things. We're fine with that discussion to continue for that segment, but it would still be up to $2.7 million. In addition, it's more of a fire district matter, but I'll still mention it here is important. $250,000 also up to would be provided to the fire district for overtime that has occurred for six employees that they pay for. They pay for three paramedics and three EMTs. So I thank Chief Longcar for his part in coming up with the data and bargaining that part and getting that number for his district, which we'll talk about next. So a grand total, roughly $6.9 million. Lastly, I just want to thank people. You know, Jen McCain was involved in this heavily. Keith Loomis was great with the legal background. Ann Langer as well. Jeremy Lonecar and the Tesla folks. It was, I think, a good faith bargaining. It was hard. There were times we weren't really loving each other, but everybody came to the table in good faith and were able to come up to, I think, a good agreement for both sides.
Fantastic. That's what you got?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that, Austin. I'm going to reach out and see if there's any public comment regarding item number 13. Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions?
I do not have any questions for Austin. I would tell you that our negotiating over 2 years, putting this together, it carries our county 2024. In 2024, our income from Tesla will be significantly increased. So I just say a job well done. Thank you, Austin, and all of your team, all the departments. Story County benefits greatly from all the detail that that has been offered here. So I thank one and all.
All right. Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
No, I think this is great. I think I know it's been a long time in coming, a lot of hard work to get there, but I feel it's equitable and it's right. It'll put us on a good path and until those structural changes that Commissioner Gilman mentioned in a few years.
Indeed. I don't have any questions for Austin. Are we not making a motion on this?
Yes.
Oh, Keith has his hand up. Yes, Keith.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to inquire of Austin whether we got the effective date of the agreement changed to June 30th in the draft.
Yeah, that is correct. I saw, Keith, that you reached, hope you can hear me. I see, Keith, that you reached out to Tesla to try to get that amendment made. And it looks like I saw back and forth that Tesla did agree to that. So the effective date on this will be June 30th. That would be an amendment to the draft you have in front of you, which is April blank line.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So we will make a motion on this?
It is.
Correct. All right. So Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to amend the governmental services agreement, GSA, for Story County Economic Diversification District number 1, Tesla, between Story County Fire Protection District, and Tesla for fiscal years 2020-2021 through 2023-2024, increasing reimbursement amounts for certain services provided to Tesla by the county, with the additional amendment of an effective date of June 30th, 2021.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin, staff, and Tesla for that. All right, bringing us to item number 14, which is to recess to convene as a Story County Fire Protection District. Bringing us to item number 15, which is discussion for possible action. We're not taking action on this like last time, are we? No. So for discussion, fire preliminary final budget review. Comptroller McCain.
Good afternoon again. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller. The fire budget had very little changes. Again, the health insurance adjustment, they dropped their health insurance from what was originally projected in the tentative by $34,000. Chief Lonecar requested to add an additional seasonal position to help with fuels reduction, and that's adding his wages and benefits line items. We'll have an increase of $17,000. As well, he requested for the medical and physicals for his firefighters. We have an increase of 875 $875, which will add a cancer screening to their annual physicals. Also, something that was overlooked and not budgeted in his budget was a charge for the annual audit, which is $7,000. With all of these changes, his budget expenses were reduced by $9,000, giving him an ending fund balance of $914,000. Other big changes within the fire department are in their new fund for grants. The positions for the NV Energy grant were moved around a little bit and more fine-tuned. That saw a reduction in the wages and benefits for the grant fund of $31,000. We had an additional state grant come through, which has a revenue and an expense that match of $300,050, no match to the county. We like to see those kind of grants. We had a calculation error on a federal grant. We doubled the match for the county, so that reduced the expenses by $27,000. And that's it for the fire department. Fire district, if you have any questions.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
I do not, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions?
In the grant fund, is there a threshold for what is expected to be spent right out of that? I'm just noticing an ending fund balance of about 68,000, I think is what is
to be spent. I missed your fund.
The fire grants.
So the fire grant fund, we are initially funding that with $50,000 from their general fund. Where I'm finding a little bit of a discrepancy is the amount of money we're budgeting for the NV Energy grant versus the amount of money that's budgeted going out as the expenses. It's my understanding that NV Energy will be paying for anything that we spend. So it's going to take us a year of this 3-year grant to kind of fine tune and see where all that's going.
Got it. Good.
Please, you know much more about that than I do.
Jeremy Longcar for the record. So when we talked about establishing this fund specifically, is because we're seeking out all these grants, we just need something to pre-fund it. So there's a 30-day turnaround on invoicing with NV Energy. So we just needed the money to actually get people in motion to get them going. Now, we're liable to see an ending fund balance far greater than what's on paper. Because as we're billing for stuff right now, we're currently billing for a Type 6 fire apparatus that we own. It's not something we're having to work off. So that's going to be revenue coming in. So essentially, it was just we needed money up front to get the program going, as well anticipated matches. So as I'm applying for federal grants, I know that based off this number, I'm going to need $17,000 in match. So we tried to encompass all that in there, but it will be something that hopefully we've got a fairly healthy ending fund balance at the end of the year, as well as new equipment.
Okay, great. And we're okay to carry or build a balance in that fund. It's yes. Not something that's expected to be zeroed out.
Correct. And I do anticipate using that money to reinvest back into those programs. So yeah, it will have an ending fund balance, but then we'll be able to budget next year more accordingly to add to it, make a more robust program.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And well, with all of our funds, we want to see some kind of ending fund balance, especially a fund like this where the money's coming in and going out. We don't have a stop date of June 30th as our paperwork has. So, sure. You know, we send a bill out on June 17th, we might not get it till August. So, and vice versa.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Question.
I don't have any questions, but just want to compliment Jennifer and the chief. I know you've been hitting the ground hard and it shows. So thank you. And hopefully everything with NV Energy gets wrapped up. All right. With that said, we'll move on to item number 16. This is discussion for possible action. Continued from the April 20 meeting. Amendment
Amendment to the Government Services Agreement for Story County Economic Diversification District Number 1, which is TESLA, between Story County Fire Protection District and TESLA for fiscal years 2021 through 2024. Increasing reimbursement amounts for certain services provided by to TESLA by the fire district. Jeremy?
I will actually go ahead and have
Austin.
Austin, start.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're both going to do this. So there's some repetition in this. We're under a new agenda item, so I'm going to repeat a lot of things. But Chief Lonecar has some things he'd like to talk about specific to the fire district in this. So there's a government services agreement between Story County Fire District and TESLA regarding reimbursement for costs that are incurred to the district because the TESLA is a tax abated company.
Just our dog, huh?
Okay. Same thing with the county, the fire district. There's a differential in here where overall there's about $1.5 million that was coming to the county district together in 2018. That differentiates to about $674,000 to both district and county in 2019 as anticipation of the Gigafactory being completed. As we said before, the Gigafactory is not completed, but construction has substantially subsided. So just like the county, we reopened the government services agreement that did not necessarily expire, but just to renegotiate numbers to try to get them up where we believe they belong. And now that the government services agreement has been in activity since 2015, the fire chief, as well as human resources and the comptroller, were able to work out specific data to calls, working with a dispatch team as well. I'll defer completely to the fire chief on that. To look at what maybe those numbers need to be increased under the old contract, and the same as the new one, they're paying for 6 firefighters out at Station 75, that being 3 paramedics and 3 EMTs that I'll let the chief explain. I talked to you a little bit at the county that the rough estimate increase county district combined about $3.3 million that was being received totally from 2021, 22, 23, and 24. If we were to do nothing with the services agreement by amending it, combined would be roughly $7.2 million, about a $4 million difference. For the fire district alone, just for those positions, not including the Quint truck or anything, it goes from about 2021 at $800,000 to about $1.0 million. Where currently the entire thing combined is about 741 to about 887. So this is a very significant increase to the fire district. And I'll let the fire chief talk about his overtime, Electric Avenue, we already talked about. So thank you.
Thanks, Austin.
All right, Jeremy Longo for the record. So with some of the changes we've seen in that TESLA GSA fire district personnel specifically, originally we were going after more staffing because the data supported that we were running primarily to TESLA. So we did put in 3 positions. We were fortunate to get the SAFER grant and had those covered. So in just a sign of good faith, we were very honest and transparent with TESLA. But one thing that the SAFER doesn't do and didn't account for, as well as just the cost of doing business, we've got a lot of people on workman's comp that are out. We've got injuries, we've got sicknesses, we have everything else. So our overtime hours were building dramatically. So as a way to kind of offset that cost for the 6 that they're already paying for, there we'll be able to bill quarterly up to $250,000 per year to help with those costs. So that way it just takes more of the burden off the district and puts it back onto TESLA where they're primarily servicing. As well, the Quint fire truck, they're going to maintain the payments. It's broke down to where as more buildings come in, they're over 55 foot. They will have a little chunk in that as well, and they will pay equally. Currently, they're the only ones paying it. So the full burden of that fire truck is on them at the present time. And that's all I'd have to add.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. Is there any public comment regarding this item? No public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jeremy or Austin?
No questions, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
And this is not specific to the fire district, but to the agreement in general, just, just to make sure I understand the effective date of this agreement will be the end of this fiscal year going into the next fiscal year. Is there some sort of just trying to understand exactly when we apply the new understanding? So,
no, that's a great question, Commissioner. So the effective date on this one, and I do want to remind you, is June 30th, also for the fire district component on this 2021. That doesn't mean everything starts from that point forward. There's a retroactive component to this. So in the staff report, you'll notice in the contract that there's Exhibit 1. And Exhibit 1 is retroactive payments for 2020-2021 that Tesla is going to begin making. They prefer to make those payments in installments in the next four quarter period. It works better with their books and it works better with the invoicing. And we're fine with that. So they're essentially going to be invoiced for the, like in this year, June 30th or July 1st, 2021 is the 22 fiscal year. They'll get invoiced for that segment. And that invoice will also include, let's just say page 2 will be for the back segment, the retroactive component. So I hope that answers your question.
Got it. So really the things that have been negotiated at this point are covering the current fiscal year forward. So, and that'll be reflected and paid out over the next year or so.
Correct. That's called fiscal year 21, 22, 23, 24.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions, Clay?
No, thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions. Appreciate Chief Lonkar and Austin's explanation. With that, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Governmental Services Agreement, GSA, for Story County Economic Diversification District Number 1, Tesla, between Story County Fire Protection District, and Tesla, for the fiscal years 2020, 2021 through 2023-2024, increasing reimbursement amounts for certain services provided to Tesla by the fire district, with the additional amendment of an effective date of June 30th, 2021.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. On to item number 17. This is discussion for possible action to provide direction and or approval to the district fire chief in exploring a proposed boundary line adjustment in the Virginia City Highlands, APN 003-401-15. Chief?
Chairman Lockhart, for the record. Commissioners, this is me kind of seeking your approval to move forward in talks with these two property owners out here in the Highlands. I was approached by them in trying to gain and develop their properties out there. One of their problems was access to their property because of where our cistern sat. And the property that was owned by Story County Fire Protection District. In looking at it, I only wanted to entertain the motion if it had a win for everyone involved. And fortunately, in this instance, it does. Where our cistern is currently sitting is on a downward slope, which then in turn makes filling our water trucks a little harder. It's also in the middle of an intersection where we're going to experience more increased traffic. There are people that are trying to evacuate the area. So we kicked around some ideas, and one of the ideas proposed was just a boundary line adjustment. So we would move our property line closer to our cistern and actually give us property that's on flat land with minimal overhead obstruction that's out of an intersection. So I thought that this would be a good win for the Fire Protection District because in time, and especially as we do maintenance on some of these cisterns that are very old in the Highlands, we can actually relocate it on our property to better areas as that time arises. So this would be no cost to the district. But in talking with the individuals, I want to make sure that I had the support of the board before we go any further in exploring other options or having them go ahead and try to get the boundary line adjustment completed. I did attach a map to kind of show you where it was located at. I've been out there on site several times. I've been in communications with both property owners. So I know they've got a lot of legwork. They'll take care of everything. They just really need our blessing for them to go ahead and pursue this.
All right. Thanks for that. Is there any public comment regarding this? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No, I believe it makes a lot of sense. I'd certainly support it.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
So just to make sure I understand where we are in the process, if we were to approve this item, then that would authorize you to move forward with the process. And would that be a normal boundary adjustment process going through planning and what have you, and then it would come back?
That is correct. And Kathy would have, I know we've discussed this with staff. I brought it up at some of our planning meetings. From them, I don't know the detailed process, just kind of looking for our end on it and just making sure that we don't hold them up, them go through a long and costly process for something we may not do for them.
Got it.
I am actually good. This is right on Calaveras and Graves, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
At the intersection.
And so you have these set up for all the water tanks out there, is that correct? The same type of setup?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And on this one, we've got two tanks. It's one of our more valuable cisterns in the area because the amount of water we have there. In the future, I'd actually like to, if this goes through, move it to that flatland, maybe give a scenario where we can pull off the road to completely get out of the way of evacuating traffic or possible fire apparatus trying to make entry.
Right. Okay. I don't have any questions. So with that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you'd like to entertain a motion.
Sure. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the fire district chief in proceeding with a boundary line adjustment on APN 003-401-15 in the Virginia City Highlands.
I'll second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
One quick question before you do leave regarding these cisterns. These all have pumps, right?
No, they are just standing water.
Okay. So there's no...
Yeah, there's nothing that's feeding it. We utilize our staff as well as our volunteers to check them on a regular basis, and they'll take our water tenders around, and we're refilling it.
Okay.
Which... again, this is where I think the maintenance aspect is the biggest win for us. Is if we have a chance, we're going to have to get in and replace these. We know we've got ones that are leaking, that we're putting a lot of water in, and it's taken a lot of our time to maintain these. I'd rather just find these ones that are in bad condition, uproot them, fix them, do whatever we have to, and explore better options. Where can we place it to have better access? Mm-hmm. And just try to extend the life of these tanks.
I don't know if this is going to make a difference, but I know regarding our insurance, if you do happen to move one further away, it may impact somebody's homeowner's insurance.
Yes. Based on the movement, like in this case, we're talking about 50 foot.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be one of those relevant factors.
Gotcha. However, in the same area.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it'd be still on the same property. It just moved over an additional 50 foot. Get us off the incline.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that. Moving on to item number 18. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the modification in the master services short form contract with NV Energy to lower the district's required privacy liability coverage from $5 million to $3 million. Chief Moncar, you got the floor?
Yes, Commissioner. So this, right after we had brought this before you and we got approval of it, Pool Pact reached out to about every fire department, every fire district, to everybody in the state and said, hey, your guys' liability insurance is for $3 million, not $5 million. So that sparked mass change to this master service agreement with everybody. Anyone who was covered under Pool Pact was only covered for $3 million versus the $5 million they initially wanted. So this is actually a reduction in our liabilities. Instead of having to cover $5 million, it's only for $3 million. The amendment is attached in there. It's similar wording, except for just replacing the $5 million to the $3 million. This was presented in front of Keith, if you'd like to comment on it at all.
Keith, do you have anything on this?
I would say that Jeremy's representation is accurate. Nevada Energy was fairly malleable in terms of adjusting this, and the Pool Pact had recommended it. So we went ahead, requested it, they agreed to it, and it's now before you.
Great. Thank you, Keith. Is there any public comment regarding item number 18? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions?
You know, I don't. This is a pretty easy choice.
Yep. Agreed. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
So just to make sure I understand the implications, I mean, potentially a nominal reduction in insurance costs or...
No, the cost would be the same. It's just right now we're only covered up $2-3 million. Okay. So provided something were to happen. So in order to completely avoid this, because this is all based on the cybersecurity, we haven't utilized their system. So it was like, well, we're just going to stay away from this until we get something fixed. Okay. So yeah, our costs are going to remain the same. This is just what we're covered for. So it's making sure the agreement matches our actual coverage.
Okay. If I understand it, essentially, if one of our firefighters were to gain access to NV Energy's data and were to misuse that data, this is what that insurance covers.
That is correct.
So, all right. With that said, and no other questions, Vice Chairman Mitchell, can I entertain a motion?
I fire Commissioner Mitchell move to approve the modification of the Master Services short form contract for NV Energy to reduce the private liability coverage to $3 million.
Second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Jay.
Yes.
The tech here is here that could fix this mic.
Uh-huh.
Can take like a 5-minute break and
sure.
I can bring him in.
Sure. Yep. We're going to take a 5-minute break, have this microphone fixed, and we'll be back on track. So we'll see you at, it's another 47. We'll see you at 12:53.
This one. Yeah. Just this one? That one, I think. This is the one.